mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 44. And our theme is one God. The Lord is one. Apart from him, there is no God, no rock. I read one in a commentator that said that idols or false gods are derivative from human power and themselves can exert no power in return. Just the other day, I was coming out of a store here in town, and this family got out of their car. It's a family of five. There's a mom and a dad and three kids. I'm not making this up. All five of them had a cell phone in their hands, and they were walking through the parking lot, all five of them, even the littlest one, looking at their phone. I'm thinking, what are they teaching? What are they doing? And then I reached out to make sure my phone was in my pocket. Yeah, I got it. I got a rule that, you know where I live up at the lake, that if I make it to Lincoln Way without my phone, I'm not going back to get it. But before that, if I realize I left the house without my phone, I run back and I gotta have my phone. That's the way we are. We gotta have it. It's the only way I keep in touch with anybody. But that phone is like a god. That phone has no power in itself. Yeah, I know it'll ring. I know it'll give you notifications. My phone goes off with notifications all the time. I've got where I shut it off when I go to bed at night so notifications don't go off. But those are being done by other people. So the only power that that phone has is the power that I give it. The same thing with money. Money is a god to a lot of people. We gotta have money. Yes, we gotta have money in order to live. We gotta have to pay for a place to put a roof over our heads. We gotta pay for something to eat. Darn sure gotta pay for some clothing though, so we don't walk around naked. But money, we just gotta have more of it. And we make it into a god. We do that. Money in itself is good. There's nothing wrong with money. Gold, silver, jewels, cash. There's nothing wrong with that. Not in the least. But we give it that power. We give it the ability to control us. Yeah, I look at my bank account every day because it's on my phone. In Exodus chapter 20, God said to Moses, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Yeah, I'm a slave to my phone. But God said, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You want to know who what the worst thing is that we make into a God? Me. Myself. You. Yourself. That's the biggest thing that we make into a god. I don't need that. I know how to do it. Come on, guys. We know how to install that TV. We don't need read the directions. I know how to do that. I know how to work on a car. I know how to do... Well, no, I don't. I don't do well with my yard. But we do that. We make ourselves into a god. We make ourselves capable of doing anything. Right. Heal that disease you got. Feed yourself. Reminds me of this old joke. This scientist claimed that he was able to create a man. He made this big elaborate machine, you know. It was really neat. And he gathered and he called for a press conference, and all these people showed up. You gotta see this. So he reaches down and he takes a handful of sand and he puts it into the machine and it lights up and makes all the noises, kind of like the Wizard of Oz kind of thing, you know. And out walks a man. That's amazing. But a preacher standing near the back says, "Excuse me, but can I see you do that again? And get your own sand." That's the way we are. We think we can do anything. You give me anything, and I can tell you how it's come from God. Gas comes from the earth, from oil. Where did the oil come from? From trees and animals and plants that died long thousands of years ago. Where did they come from? God. God is the first. He's before all others. You know, it's not a bad idea, this Big Bang theory that you hear. I'm not talking about the TV show, but the Big Bang that took place. That's accurate. A big bang took place and the earth was formed. Nothing wrong with that. And God was there and did it. And I got news for you. He's going to be here long after everything is gone. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And from him comes absolutely everything. Besides, we know what God has promised to us, haven't we? Don't we know that? We know what God has promised us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. A Savior. He promised a Savior long ago with Adam and Eve as they were driven from the Garden of Eden. God promised a Savior, Jesus Christ. And then with Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." We teach in our catechism classes now. What do we teach? How do we know God exists? We know him by natural knowledge. Look out around you. The trees, the clouds in the sky, the rains that fill the earth. All these wonderful things. God. They didn't just come to happen to be. God provided all of these things. And look at Ian, Liam and Eden. They know. They know the natural knowledge of God in their hearts, through their conscience now. Everybody knows that the law of God is written on the hearts of all men. Everybody knows right and wrong. And that's what God has written on the hearts of every man. Right and wrong. We all know that. We also know about salvation, about everlasting life, by God speaking to us in his word. And we know that God rescues us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. How does he do that? Through holy baptism, through confession and absolution, through the holy sacrament of the altar. God has blotted out all our iniquities. God has forgiven all of our sins because he loves us so much. Only one God could do that. So you too are witnesses to the great glory of God. You have seen it in the historical, real life events of the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been studying in the Bible study, you know, the historical realities. These things are being proven day in, day out. It really happened. We see his glory in all creation around us, and we know his glory is in our hearts and in our minds. Why is it that our faith really shines brightest in disasters? Why is it, we really reach out to God when things are so bad? Why is it that it's got to be the worst of the worst of the worst for us to really... You know, the last time churches were packed was right after 9-1-1, right after that thing happened in New York City. Churches swelled with people. Oh my gosh, the terrible things that are happening. But it didn't take long. It only took the churches about not even 2 months for them to dwindle back again. Why? I don't need it. I don't need church. I can do it. I can do whatever I want. I'm doing pretty good. Look at what I made of myself. No, you haven't. God has given it to you. So we need to rise up. We need to proclaim the glory of him who died for us. We need to proclaim the glory of the Lord unto all the earth. We need to do that day in, day out. Not just on Sundays. And we do so in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.